You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, John feels the pain, Steve takes the black, and Kev, well, he's still playing Minecraft. Episode 26, The Sunset with Practiced Bravado. Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things podcasty.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it normal for a second that time.
Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of NPR.
Oh.
No.
No, we're not. NPR, we're not. We know that.
The official video game podcast of NPR. Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing. On tonight's show, Helen Mirren.
Really?
No.
No? Alright.
She plays Dungeons & Dragons. No, she doesn't. Judi Dench plays Dungeons & Dragons.
Judi Dench played Dungeons & Dragons because Vin Diesel asked her to.
Vin Diesel asks you to play Dungeons & Dragons. You pick up that D20.
You roll, man.
You roll 20s. With me, as usual, Mr. John Mercer.
The shadows rushed me. Bruised mugshot faces hungry for revenge. Looking to buy more sand for the hourglass. I wasn't selling.
You weren't selling sand?
I wasn't selling anything. Except bullets.
And grim noir narration.
Delivered with practiced bravado. Laced with poisonous foreboding.
Also with me, Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
I can't top that.
No?
What could I say? There you go.
Kevin just bought a banjo.
I just bought a banjo. That wasn't it. That was me singing, obviously.
You going to be Banjo Hero?
Banjo Hero? Activision's latest rhythm game.
There we go. Let's just...
That could revive the genre.
Banjo Hero.
Banjo Hero. Dixieland.
Because God knows Bobby Kotick needs, you know, to be able to buy another country.
Dixieland hero. Oh.
Bluegrass hero.
I heard a Dixieland, a bluegrass version of The Unforgiven. There's a band that does, like,
yeah.
those kind of covers.
Yeah.
KC Dixie.
Is that who they are? Yeah, that's who they are.
KC Dixie.
Yep.
their Gin Juice is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
They did a version of Gin and Juice?
Yep.
There you go.
As in Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg, not Gin and Juice by the Carpenters.
I didn't know there was a Carpenters version.
You didn't know there was a Snoop Dogg version.
I knew about the Snoop Dogg version. You know, laid back with my mind on my money on my money on my mind. That's the one, right?
You've been hanging around with Joe Woe too much.
I haven't heard that song, man, since high school.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever.
So between the two Woolridge brothers, whose rap flows the dopest?
Oh, that'd be Joe, man. Definitely.
That'd be Joe Woe?
Yeah, definitely.
May he rest in beats?
Yep.
I always saw Kevin as the OG of the Woolridge boys.
No,
the
really.
OG of the Coolridge Foundation.
Kevin'd be one of those old school rappers. Well, I went down to the hat store and I bought myself a hat.
Uh-huh. Wiki, wiki.
Joe would be like listening to Joe would be like listening to, you know, old school Public Enemy, and
yeah.
listening to Kev would be like old school Houdini.
Run DMC.
You will not sully the name of Run DMC.
Hey, man, you dragged Houdini into this.
I'm sorry, you know, it's just... I'm still broke up about a dude from Beastie Boys.
I understand. At least you didn't mention Tone Loc.
Oh!
Because you're pretty sure that your girl is pure for the funky
woman. Now I want to watch Full Fair Lane.
Moving right along, we're going to start with John. What have you been playing, Mr. Mercer?
Well, if my my little introduction wasn't clue enough, I sat down the week and tore the plastic off of Max Payne 3.
The television glowed in the basement like a beacon in the darkness.
Hey, you want to know something?
Yo.
It's pretty goddamn awesome.
It looks pretty cool. I have it. I picked it up. I did acquire said game.
I really don't think you'll be disappointed. I mean, what are you going in? Are you just going in expecting a third-person shooter?
I'm going in expecting Kane and Lynch.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're going to get.
Awesome. You know what? I think we're crazy, but I'm cool with that.
I was really worried about, you know, because it still features the bullet time really heavily.
Yep.
And I had I thought, you know, it's been, what, 9 years since Max Payne 2?
It's been a while. 2003,
yeah, and there's been a lot of great... I mean, the third-person shooter market has grown by leaps and bounds in that 9 years.
Yeah.
I was really worried about it, but they've implemented a really smart cover system to it as well.
Okay.
And the two of them mesh together really, really well. Like, you know, you can just click in one of the analog sticks. You don't actually have to dive to turn on the bullet time anymore.
Okay.
You can just click on one of the buttons, it'll switch into it, and you mix, you know, popping around corners and plugging a guy a few times. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And the game's got all these really awesome, it's like, it rides this Hollywood adrenaline high. It's got these really awesome action movie set pieces. There's a section really early in the game when another kidnapping attempt goes down at a nightclub. And as all the chaos is breaking loose and somebody makes a move for one of his mercs, Max grabs the first thug he comes across. You're up in the VIP room.
Yep.
Up in the lounge overlooking the club. He grabs the first thug he gets his hands on and dives through a window with him.
Nice.
And everything automatically goes into bullet time. On your way down, you can cap six guys down and then use Buddy's body to break your fall.
That's pretty cool.
And it's all, like, it's filled with moments like that. You know, like, right at the beginning of it, the first kidnapping attempt at this party. Like, it opens up with a couple of masked guys trying to kidnap this Brazilian industrialist and his family. And there's a couple of attempts early in the game before Max really figures out what's going on. And right when they make the first attempt, as they grab one of them and throw him in the back of a van, you're running out through the two loading doors explode. Of course, Max comes in with a gun in each hand, and everything slows down so you can take aim and blow the tires off the van as it's moving.
Nice.
Cool.
It's really, really cool, you know. I'm getting that Vanquish feel off of it, only instead of rocket boosters and Soviet kill bots, it's brown liquor and kidnappers. And I really gotta say, you know, they've traded in that Frank Miller Sin City vibe and gone more for a Tony Scott's Man on Fire vibe.
That's great.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's even stuff like in Collateral with the switching film stocks and the, and then, you know, for Man on Fire, they take the, you know, the really stylish subtitles and the color burning and color dodging coming up all the time. It's really, really visually snazzy.
Looks pretty, like, it definitely appeals to me. I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
And you'll be happy to know that they've toned down Max's... his narration is still there, because it wouldn't be Max Payne without it.
No, unfortunately.
But they've toned down on the... it's not quite as ham-fisted as the Sam Lake-written games.
Right on.
You know, they toned down the metaphors and the hyperbole.
The sun doesn't set with practiced bravado laced with foreboding?
No, the only thing that settles with practiced bravado is the whiskey bottle when Max puts it back on the table.
Cool. Any other stuff on the plate?
Yeah, I sat down after playing Max Payne last night and for an hour watched Lady Mercer play Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2.
Hooray.
The game sucks so hard, it made my balls ache.
Oh, God. Is it 2D? Is it a platformer?
It is 2D, but I'm going to let you guys in on... Actually, no, we've said this before, but I'm going to say it again anyway. This is a little hint for everyone out there who's crying and clamoring and, you know, whenever Sega releases a new Sonic game saying, why can't they make it like the old ones? Why does this suck? They are making it like the old ones. This plays just like one of the old ones, and they've really improved the physics over last time. But those games were never great to begin with. They always had a couple standout levels. But if you were to compare Sonic 2 up to Mario World and say Sonic 2 is better, you're a goddamn idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Big time.
Yeah. Sega was, even in their better days as a 16-bit developer, they could never approach what Nintendo was pulling off with Mario.
Sonic was a triumph of marketing.
Yes.
Is what it was. Sonic is more Bubsy the Bobcat than Mario.
Yeah. And when I was, oh god, how old was I when the Super, about 9 I think. I was probably 10 when I got my Super Nintendo, and I had to choose between the two systems, and all it took was seeing Mario with that cape. Right? It's just, no, that just to me looked so much better. And sitting down, and I know Beth really likes it because she had a Game Gear back in the day. And she had a couple Sonic games for the Game Gear. Because, I mean, what other games were there on Game Gear? What was it? Super Monaco GP? You know, a 10-year-old girl's going to play gonna play Joe Montana Sport Talk Football?
I think Altered Beast might have been out for it.
Yeah, but Altered Beast wasn't that good.
It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't Final Fight.
Oh, yeah. It was fun changing into a werewolf, though.
Yeah, but again, that was one level. That was one level.
Yeah, he turned into something different in every level, wasn't it?
Did he?
Yeah, but the only one that was any good was the werewolf.
Yeah, or the were-dragon.
And the werewolf was the only one that actually had any animation done to it during the changing sequence. The rest of them was just the face would flicker and it'd be a new picture.
Yeah.
The werewolf's the only one that had the really cool animated roar.
Golden Axe was good.
Again, Golden Axe was not Final Fight.
Oh, I don't know. Wow,
God! David Caruso. That's actually David Caruso.
Yeah, I remember someone telling me that before.
It was me.
Easy.
Oh, was it you?
Yeah, they took a voice. All the screaming in Golden Axe was voice sampled from First Blood.
That's hilarious.
And most of the screaming in First Blood was David Caruso.
Yeah.
Wow. The more you know.
So yeah, my pro tip for the week is avoid Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2, and I would say check out Max Payne, but I really wouldn't recommend parents get that for their kids. You know, because the game is made out of whiskey and bullets.
How about you, Mr. Woolridge? What do you got on the go?
Well, just tonight I finally started playing Batman Arkham City Lockdown, which is an iOS game, takes place right before, kind of in between Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Is Lockdown in the game?
No.
There was a Batman villain called Lockdown, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Or might have been Lock Up.
Not that I'm aware. I don't remember. No idea.
It's episode of Wiki That Shit.
I'm looking it up right now. No, not the Stallone movie, although I do need to watch that again.
No, you don't.
It plays like very similar to Infinity Blade, where you're just swiping and fighting one guy at a time type thing. But it's kind of cool. If you're a Batman fan, you'll love it. Lots of different costumes and gadgets. And because it story-wise, apparently it bridges the gap between the two games, so it's kind of interesting. But don't, if you're going to download it, don't expect to be playing, you know, third-person beat-em-up, because it is not that.
It's not sure. Arkham City.
No, definitely not. It's got the same style, same music, same everything, but different gameplay entirely. I also finally, after probably a year maybe, threw in Uncharted 3. I'm always behind everybody else, man.
Uncharted 3 was like November, so you're not too bad there.
Okay.
You're only good.
Have you started playing Dead Space 2 yet?
I haven't.
You lazy half-assed.
Anyway, yeah, so I started playing Uncharted 3. Really, really super pumped last night. No, 2 nights ago. Sat on the couch, my glass of Pepsi, and, you know, my chocolate bar. Turned it on, heard the music, got so excited. I'm going to qualify everything I say now. I actually wrote this shit down just then because I want to remember everything that I want to say about this. I'm going to qualify all of this by saying right off the bat, you guys know it. I'm a huge Uncharted fan, just like yourselves.
Yep.
Love the series.
Even more so, I think. I think you had more of a fun time with 2 than I did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah. Anyway, gigantic fan, so I was really excited, because I consider them my favorite games, right? And I'm very loyal to that fact. So I started playing, and, oh, man, I gotta say, I got some problems. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on this one, because I got some problems.
Dude, we had problems as well.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right, here are my problems.
Let's go for it.
I mean, this is something that you guys have said has been talked about before, the combat system, right? I don't remember combat being this shitty in the previous games.
The aim mechanic and stuff, I didn't really have any issue with it because I've played so many third-person shooters.
But like normally with a third-person shooter, I'm pretty good with aiming, but with this, it's so stiff.
It is a little slow. It is.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
totally, man.
I think a lot of the reason, like a lot of the problems I had with it, like the first one was woefully inaccurate. Like the first one, it just wasn't very accurate at all.
Yeah.
From what I understand, from what I was told, the third one, they basically mimicked the second one. They didn't really change it much.
Right.
But I think what it is just you're fighting a lot more people now.
Well on top of that, they're bullet sponges, right?
Yeah.
Even the Ham and Eggers. That all, like, most of them wear identical suits. I felt like Neo in The Matrix.
Yeah,
all these guys in suits who look exactly the same. And they all carry grenades. maybe in their pants pocket. I don't understand that at all. Like, leave the grenades with the heavies.
They have suits made by Holland and Holland of London.
They totally do, man. They totally do. There was this one guy, I shot him in the face twice. And then I shot him in the groin. And he still wasn't dead. And
which is a Kevin Woolridge tactic.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the face, and just as they fall back, the last thought that goes through their head before the bullet is, he's about to shoot me in the nuts, and that sucks.
They call it the Woolridge maneuver. and he ducked behind cover, and he was the last guy, so I was like, man, fuck this. I just jumped over cover and punched him in the face to kill him. And that's what I'm finding I'm doing a lot. I'm meleeing a lot. I'm getting achievements for meleeing because I hate shooting people in this game. It sucks.
They definitely did make the hand-to-hand combat a little more meaningful this time around.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the shooting mechanics, and I find cover really awkward as well, the cover system. Maybe that's just me, but I just found it really awkward. Okay. In fact, I found Drake awkward to control. Mostly, this is going to be a weird thing to say, and you guys are probably going to disagree, I find that he's got too many animations.
Yeah?
Yeah. When he's running down a hallway or moving around, he comes close to anything. Even a wall or a table or a chair, he interacts with it in some way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes me feel like I'm not... It makes the control feel weird to me, right? You know, it's like, okay, if I'm running straight down a hallway and I want him to run straight down a hallway, but he's moving right and left a little bit while I'm doing that.
Yeah, it disorients you.
It's very disorienting, and I find it really terrible and hard to use, especially during all those... chase sequences and everything, right?
It's really
bizarre.
It's kind of a situation where you get... It immerses you because you've got the animation, but it frustrates you because it does slow the control down, because you have to wait for these animations to finish for the controls to react to what you're inputting, you know?
I mean, there were times when I was trying to pick up something or interact with something, but because he was close to something else, there was an animation involved with that, so I had to, like, back up entirely and move back in, and like driving a tank, right?
Yeah.
And just to get to the thing I want to interact with, and it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't
definitely
be that
a little
right?
bit of animation lag with the inputs.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
This is something that Naughty Dog has done in every single game, and every single time they've done it, I've hated it. Naughty Dog, stop fucking doing this. I'm dropping the F-bomb.
Oh, someone had to.
That's right. When they put the camera in front of the protagonist because you're running away from something, so you can't fucking see a goddamn thing in front of you.
Oh, Crash Bandicoot cam.
I hate it! Oh, and they're always doing it. And what it forces you to do is instead of play with skill, right, it forces you to die and memorize the pattern.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was fine in the 80s when you're playing Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, but I don't want to play a game like that. You know? I've only been playing it for 2 days, I've died probably 100 times. Easy. Especially during the chase scenes where if you make one little mistake, that's it, you're back to checkpoint, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. Okay, my final thing that I don't like about this game is the fact that it seems everybody can climb like Drake now. All the bad guys.
Big time.
even Sully is doing a bit of climbing, not a whole lot, but a bit. Yeah. And as soon as you give the Ham and Eggers, who are just regular old guys in a suit, the ability to climb like Drake, Drake is no longer special.
No.
The only thing about him is that he wisecracks.
Yep.
But other than that, there's nothing superheroic about Drake anymore.
He says crappity crap crap a lot, though.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I think I found what it felt like to me, especially where pretty much there's not very much in the game. There's very, very, very few times in the game where you're by yourself.
Yeah.
It happens so severely rarely that I think when they first started developing it, they were working on a co-op.
Yeah.
I think they were working on making a single
player campaign co-op. That makes sense, man.
And it's just, it got to a point where they said, you know what, if we keep co-op in, it's going to ruin some of the better parts of our story.
Right.
So they just went, scoop, dump. You know, like they just kind of scooped it out and dumped it.
Yeah.
But, it does, like when you've got the, I can't even remember the other British guy's name.
Cutter, yeah.
When you've got Cutter kind of running around like Drake, and then you get that level in the underground where you get Cutter and Sully and Chloe with you, you know, it's just like, it doesn't feel...
It's not like in the first game where you got somewhere and Sully'd stand there and wait for Drake to...
I mean,
for Drake to navigate the jumping puzzle to open the door for him.
Yeah.
Because I don't expect Sully to do that because he's 100 years old.
I mean, what I loved about Uncharted 3, I thought the storyline was fantastic. I thought the writing was absolutely amazing, but I thought the villains were a little weak. I thought there was never really any explanation as to who they were or what they were doing.
Because they had the potential to be the best of the series.
What's that?
The villains had the potential to be the best of the series.
Dude. And I mean, and like Kev, in all honesty, what you know right now about the villains is all you're ever told.
Really?
Yeah. Right to the end game, dude. And like, I mean, the end game is huge, and you're expected to see all these big monumental moments with these villains, but you still don't know dick all about them.
Okay.
You were told, like, you know, like in an offhanded cutscene with Cutter, in front of the pyramids or the museum or wherever it is you're to in Egypt, and he says something about, oh, the such and such foundation or the secret society. Supposedly they've been around since Elizabeth's time.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the only mention you ever get of them.
Yeah,
that's it. There's never any more explanation than that.
Right.
And it's just, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty. You know.
I mean, I love the design. I love the stories of the characters. I love the set pieces when they go in. Into, like, one of the tombs or, you know, whatever. I just dig that stuff. In fact, when they first... I didn't know about the John Dee connection at all.
Oh, okay.
Before I started playing it, right?
Yeah,
and I'm a huge John Dee nut. I love, you know...
And I
make my own DIY board games.
Yeah.
And one of them, John Dee's a character in. So when they first walked into the laboratory...
Yeah.
And I saw the Monad Hieroglyphica on the wall... Which I recognize because I use it in my board game. I was like, oh my god, this is John Dee's place. I knew it before Nathan Drake said it.
That's awesome.
Which I felt pretty cool
about
it. But I'm digging all that. Yemen was a fantastic level.
All of the Middle East stuff, whenever the game is in the Middle East, it is golden.
Yep.
It is absolutely golden. But when it gets, like, when it leaves there, like the level you're on now, That whole side road, it felt totally out of place, and it was totally, like, just, it wasn't ambitious, it wasn't at all engaging, it was just a whole lot of jumping and a whole lot of shooting.
It looks like a slog, man.
Yeah, it was horrible. And the first part of the cruise ship, like the outside part, the ship graveyard, that's not even as bad as when you get in the cruise ship. When you get in there, it's fucking terrible.
It looked cool, like when he first comes out, and he looks over it, and the music kicks in, really cool music. And he's like, whoa. I was like, whoa, myself.
Yeah. But then it does, and graphically, like visually, gorgeous.
Yeah.
But when you start playing it, and it's just so heavy on the firefighting. And, like, what was so cool about the Uncharted games was, you know, the only time Uncharted 2 really amped up the combat, like, there was always fighting in it, but it was always going on in the ancillary of what you were doing. Like, you're in a war-torn Tibetan city, so there's always conflict, but you're kind of on the exterior of it. But whereas with Uncharted 3, they throw you into it like you're playing Gears of War.
Yeah.
You're fighting wave after wave after wave after wave, and it just becomes a shooter. It's really,
I expect it now at certain points. Like, if I'm starting a level, I think this is a standard Uncharted thing, right? And I really don't like it. Okay, get into the secret place, and then fight a whole bunch of guys on your way out.
Yeah.
Or you get into the secret place and discover a whole bunch of guys are already there.
Yeah.
And I think that's crazy because you have to get in there, unlock all this 100-year-old stuff, and suddenly there's 40 guys.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
It's like I always said about the end of Uncharted 2. You know, oh, look, we're in Shambhala. No one's ever been here before, or one's been here in 600 years, except for those 30-odd guys over there and those two heavies with miniguns.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
It just, it feels so artificial.
Yeah.
You know? And the ship graveyard, the whole pirate subplot shouldn't have been in the game.
Yeah.
Should not have been in the game. And what follows after that, like when it's over, when you see the cutscene that immediately follows it, it's like it was never there.
Okay.
It just feels like it's thrown in.
I feel right now like I'm playing for the cutscenes.
Yeah.
And you know, like in older video games when you just played because you wanted to see the next, especially old PC games, right? Like StarCraft?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Totally, man.
Every few levels you'd unlock a new CG sequence.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that's so cool. Look at this work.
But yeah, it's worth sticking with because the final act is awesome.
Oh, I will. I'm going to stick with it.
Final act's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, because I still love it. It's just those are the problems I'm having with it.
It never quite recaptures the vibe of those first few levels, though, does it, John?
No, it doesn't.
No, you get like that.
And I know it. I say it. Fuck it. I say it every week when we record this. I would play Chapter 2 all day long.
Yeah.
Chapter 2 is now no longer my favorite level.
You like
the
Yemen stuff?
I like the Yemen stuff. And you know why? Because in Chapter 2, they give you that goddamn race scene where half of it, the camera's in front of you, and that pisses me off.
And you got the guys chasing after you on the rooftops.
Yeah, I died during that while I was playing it.
Are they in suits while they're chasing you?
What's that?
Are they in suits when they're chasing you?
Yep.
Man up, Kevin. Man up. You need to go back with your PS1 and play Crash Bandicoot and run away from 800 boulders.
I want them to, you know, I appreciate that they want to show what's happening behind you because it makes you, you know.
They think it engages you.
Yeah, it ramps up that, but all they need to do is just pull the camera up a little bit on an angle so you could see what's 4 feet in front of you. Like you would if you were the character. Come on.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's anyway, true. Uncharted 3, still love it. And that shows how strong the franchise is, and I can have all those problems and still love it.
I mean, I enjoyed it. Like to say I didn't enjoy it
is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, exactly. However, it was the first time in the series that I really had serious reservations. You know, like even Uncharted 2, like I had problems with all the fighting you did in the final chapter, but overall the game was great. You know, whereas Uncharted 3, there are levels that don't fit. There's just stuff that feels like it doesn't belong, and it's just way too heavy in the shooty shooty bang bang.
Hmm. Agreed.
Anything else?
That has been, well, aside from lots of Minecraft, I found some diamonds. Did I talk about that last week?
No, I don't think you did.
I found diamonds finally after many, 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 many hours.
How many moons?
Many moons. Many square moons. I even found diamonds, you're not going to believe this, underneath my goddamn castle. I scoured Minecraftia, which is what we call it, looking for diamonds, and I found some under my castle, just digging out a basement.
A wine cellar?
No, like a storage facility.
Root cellar.
All the creepers Kevin killed to build that castle, those are conflict diamonds.
So now I'm hanging out in hell. That's really exciting.
There's a hell in Minecraft.
Yeah, Netherworld. It's scary. Lots of lava. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Steve?
I did pick up and take the wrapping off of Diablo 3. We got a nice little unboxing video on our Facebook page and on YouTube. If you want to look at it, go ahead. However, I haven't been able to play it.
Boo.
Because, not because of Blizzard's ongoing server issues, but because my Battle.net authenticator got reset on my cell phone. So I need Blizzard to remove the authenticator from my account and go in and set it up again.
Hmm. I'm going to play it tonight when I go home.
You
can't
bastard.
Wait. Can't wait. I don't care how late it is.
Well, I've been playing the beta, so yeah.
Aww. I'm going to get myself a witch doctor.
Oh.
I told the witch doctor.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody had to. Come on.
I did also pick up Max Payne 3, but it's still in the wrapping. I haven't actually gotten a chance to fire it up yet. But I did also grab a new RPG. I did grab the Game of Thrones RPG from Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could say I was surprised with the reviews that it's been getting so far, but it's exactly what I expected. And I will also say that outside of the RPG.net review, they've all been full of shit. It's not a 4 out of 10 game.
No, definitely not. It's pretty good.
4 out of 10? Really?
I thought we've pretty much stated before that anything below 5 out of 10 denotes that there's something broken with a game.
It just doesn't work, period, full stop.
Yeah, it just doesn't... Yeah, exactly. Once,
yeah, like Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah, like when you're below 5, that denotes failure.
Yeah, and it's right? far from a failure.
Yeah.
I put it on even footing with, say, First Templar or Divinity 2. Like, it's not top drawer, it's not AAA. You know, no one's going to mistake it for a Bethesda or a BioWare game.
At worst, it's a 6. Realistically, it's a 7.
7 or 7.5.
Yeah.
It's a 7 or 7.5. It's a great RPG. What I thought was really cool, and this is an extremely minor spoiler for someone who's never read the book or seen the series.
The A in the other room.
No, this is okay. For this is the very first thing that you see in season 1.
Episode I got you. Okay, I've seen that.
it's really cool, like, when you first start off, you're playing as a guy named Mors Westford, who's a ranger in the Night's Watch. And he's a really cool character. I really dig him. There's something went on in his past 15 years ago during Baratheon's Rebellion, where he killed the Mad King and took over the throne, and Mors decided to go join the Night's Watch. But the first thing I did, like, after starting the game, watching the opening cutscene, which was also really cool, was I started roaming around Castle Black, and here there's two knights standing there having a conversation, and they talk about how Sir Raymer took a group of young recruits out into the wilderness on patrol and hasn't come back, and, you know, someone saying, oh, Raymer's a fool, and blah, 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 and all that. But anybody who's familiar with the story will know that these are the guys who were killed in the opening scene of the series in the book by the White Walkers, which was really, really cool. And, that was neat. The exploration aspect of it was pretty cool. The levels are not really as tight and confined as I expected them to be. I expected more along the lines of Dragon Age, where everything is pretty linear. But it is a little more open-ended. It's almost more Witcher 2-ish. But the combat is 110% Dragon Age. You know, Dragon Age Knights of the Old Republic-style combat, which is awesome, which I love. It's got a little bit of that strategic element to it, and you kind of... Like, it feels like an old-school RPG. It doesn't feel like a modern RPG. There's no, you know, real-time elements to the combat. There's no big open meta sandbox for you to prowl around in. It's a cool, just old-school, narrative-driven, you know, Western RPG experience, and so far I've been really pleased with it. So far I'm really enjoying myself. I just started playing as the second character in the game, actually. And he seems pretty cool so far, too.
I like that there are multiple characters. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's even structured like the book. Like, when you hit different chapters, you're playing as a different character, that kind of thing, right?
That's so neat.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And they've got pretty neat storylines that are pretty, like it seemed to be well executed so far and stuff, too, you know? So overall, I'm pretty pleased with it. It's not an ugly game by any stretch. I mean, no, it's not gorgeous. It's not going to win any awards for graphics. But at the same time, it certainly doesn't look super ugly. It runs pretty smoothly. Voice acting is good. Story is well handled. It's not particularly glitchy. It feels pretty solid. And the interface is actually pretty nice looking. Like, the on-screen menus and the little, like, the quest objectives that pop up on screen and stuff. It's actually got a nice little design sense to it. I'm really pleased. For me, it's like 7, 7.5.
Nice.
I think that's all I've played. It's been kind of a slow week.
Yeah. Any iOS games?
No.
No?
No.
Not a one?
No. I got the Chapter 2 in The Witcher 2 on 360.
Okay.
And that was awesome.
Cool.
That was so awesome.
I believe you brought that up last week, though.
I probably did. But, you know, that's it.
I could still be just, you know, gone mad with the testicular throbbing of Sonic 4.
Testicular throbbing of Sonic.
And let's never utter that phrase again.
We're going to need some post here, Steve.
Some post?
Yeah, post-production.
No. Let's do the news!
The news?
Good news, everybody!
Good news, everyone!
Doctor Who, the Eternity Clock, hits PSN May 23rd.
What the hell is that?
That's some Doctor Who game for PSN. Doctor Who? Exactly. Darksiders 2 is now officially August 14th.
Not soon enough.
And Joyride Turbo hits Xbox Live on May 23rd, the same day that Doctor Who hits PSN.
Could you say that again?
Doctor Who?
I wonder if Joyride Turbo is going to suck as much as Judas Priest Turbo.
Oh, I can't even talk to you anymore.
What is Joyride Turbo?
It's a Kinect game for Xbox 360.
Oh, no.
Yay!
It's not a shitty glam rock album.
It's not your Turbo Lover.
Is it? I'm assuming it's some sort of racing game.
You better run for cover.
Oh, God.
So, and when that's the best track on the album?
So in terms of release dates, we do have two major titles that have been delayed.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, this is awful.
Can one of us make the noise that the Millennium Falcon makes when it breaks down?
That's a great sound. Not so much if you're being chased by an Imperial Star Destroyer.
No.
But
they told me they fixed it.
So, a couple of games that I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to. One of these I've been looking forward to an awful lot.
And the other one I've been looking forward to an awful lot.
Yeah, so we're both a little sad here. BioShock Infinite, it's going to be settling down or floating upwards February 26th of 2013. God. 2013, that's like 100 years from now.
At least you'll have Darksiders 2 by then.
Well, that's true, actually. Yeah, but I'll have that finished in a week. And the other title is Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider reboot, which has been rescheduled for the first quarter, 2013.
That was looking really polished, too.
That
was kind of disappointing. I was saddened.
I love
being excited about a Tomb Raider game in ages and ages.
That cinematic trailer they put out, man, because nobody does that better than Square Enix.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, that had me super pumped.
Yeah, and I like how they were handling the marketing kind of the same way they handled Deus Ex.
Yeah.
You know, but then they had that gameplay demo from last year at E3, and that just looked stunning, man, when he was roaming through the cave and stuff.
When is Hitman?
November 23rd, I think. November or something. We announced that last week.
Because I'm wondering if they're actually moving it to avoid cannibalizing their own market, right?
From what I understand, it needs more polish. They want to polish it up.
How much
more
polish can you put on that glistening perfect body?
Well, they did the same thing with Deus Ex. They delayed Deus Ex about 6 months or 8 months, too, to add extra pizzazz to it, right?
To add extra yellow.
Yeah, more gold.
Deus Ex has gone gold. No shit. Speaking of shit, Tomonobu Itagaki's Devil's Third is up on the sale block by THQ. Is the X-Team Ninja Leader's name frequently associated with such things as sexual harassment and being an all-around doucher enough to make it a worthy prospect to other publishers?
I vote no.
I will also vote no. What is Devil's Third?
This is the guy who created the modern imagining of Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, and right.
As well as DOA, which...
Yeah.
I can't speak for Ninja Gaiden, because Ninja Gaiden 3 was pretty mediocre all around. But DOA 5 looks a lot better than anything he ever did with DOA.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... Yeah, like, I only ever saw that one teaser for Devil's Third back after E3 2010.
Well, it was him and some other dude hanging out in, like, the back room of a club looking like a bunch of total douchebags.
Yeah.
Sitting back smoking or something.
Basically, the guys were sitting down trying to look like a video, like a 50 Cent video.
Yeah, they were, like, hanging out in, like, a red velvet room smoking cigarettes or something.
In the champagne room.
Yeah.
Lame. Or as they say in Max Payne 3, champagne.
Champagne room.
Before Max downs another glass of bourbon and shoots someone.
The gameplay looked okay, that whole third-person gameplay, but apparently the company that was working on the engine for him went under, went kaput, and THQ had to license a new engine for him, which was...
Well, they didn't have to license... They basically loaned out Relic's engine that they used to make Space Marine.
Oh, okay, right on.
Right? Which wasn't a bad graphics engine by any stretch of the imagination.
No, hell no.
But, I mean, and it's no secret now that THQ aren't doing that great financially.
No.
Right? And I think they're just looking at, like, do we really want to keep pumping money into something that's not a sure bet?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, you know, when they initially announced it, it was around the same time when they first really hit that explosion. You know, like, we got to Itagaki, we've got Guillermo del Toro working on a game. You know, like, they were really pumping a lot.
Yeah, and they just had a couple big hits. They were riding high on that wave.
And, yeah.
And, it's, I mean, guys, it's been 2 years. We've had nothing, no real news about the game.
Yeah.
Right? The mind starts to wander. You know, you start thinking.
Exactly. And, yeah, I mean, they kind of, they headed down that Homefront road. I think Homefront was kind of the beginning of the bad times for THQ.
Yeah, and, I mean, really, they don't need another bomb, no matter how well-intentioned it is, yeah, right?
Exactly. Speaking of...
Oh, no.
This one really... This hit me pretty hard. I was pretty saddened by this, but this kind of... This is very disheartening for me. Kurt Schilling's 38 Studios has defaulted on a $75 million loan granted to them by the state of Rhode Island. There's been little or no talk from 38 Studios. I know Schilling and the Rhode Island Board of Commerce or something had a meeting today, but Schilling didn't address any reporters or anything like that, and apparently whatever was presented in secret and is under confidentiality, so like no one's really been able to talk about it. But apparently he asked them for more money. So I don't know how well that's going to work out. Either way, it seems like Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning was more of a small blip on the radar than they expected. Maybe because Skyrim was just such a goddamn monster.
Yeah, I think it got eaten, man.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's not the end, but it doesn't look too good. We really hope, we at Blast Processing really hope that the studio does not collapse. But if it does, the taxpayers of Rhode Island have to swallow a $112 million tab, and the state of Rhode Island actually inherits the Amalur franchise.
What? That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life, man.
Well, basically, it's compared to a lien on a car.
Yeah.
Like you buy a car, you get a loan to buy a car from a bank. The bank comes and takes your car, and then they liquidate it at auction or whatever. This is basically what would happen to the Amalur franchise.
That'd be like Calgary owning Batman.
Yeah.
You know what would be totally awesome, though? If Rhode Island named themselves, like, renamed the state Amalur?
Yeah.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Or, you know, seceded from the United States and built a giant tower out of red crystal.
So, anyway, Kurt, we hope it all works out. I know you're not hurting for a dollar, man, but we hope it all rounds up, because we were really big fans of Reckoning.
It's still on my list of game of must plays.
Yeah.
I'll play that in a year and love the shit out of it.
And I, for one, was really looking forward to an MMO set in that same world.
Mm. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we've got some more bad news. Actually, well, it's not really bad news. It's just
stupid news.
Idiot news.
Yeah.
After 24 hours on the shelves, the backlash has begun. Diablo 3, much anticipated Blizzard title, is being destroyed by Metacritic users and currently stands at a 3.4 out of 10 user rating, which is retarded.
Extremely stupid.
Issues include always online requirements and lack of servers. I guess all these errors that have been coming up,
E36 and stuff.
Crap. Strangely, no one has bothered to mention the gameplay. Which, I mean, it's Diablo. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the beta was great. And the beta, apparently, they even came out and claimed that the beta was kind of a dumbed-down experience. It wasn't the full...
You know,
the full meat and potatoes with Diablo that... I mean, I to me...
It wasn't as Diabolicious as the...
Diabolicious. That's good, man. I mean, I don't understand 3.4.
I do, man. Metacritic has become the fucking 4chan of review sites or whatever. You know, because that's all you're getting is, you know, a game comes out, something happens, pisses a bunch of internet fanboys off. These are probably guys who didn't go out and put down the money to buy a copy.
Yeah.
Right, and he's got it sitting there behind the keyboard.
I'm also, like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the whole Mass Effect 3 outcry.
Yeah.
You know?
And we all basically said how that was bullshit.
Total bullshit.
Same as the fucking the PSN outrage from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
From last year, right?
You know what occurs to me, actually?
What's that?
I mean, Diablo came out, what, 15 years ago? Maybe more than that.
The original Diablo was 96, I believe.
Right.
January 96.
And Diablo 2 was
2000? 2000, June 2000 or maybe okay. 2000.
So the average kid nowadays, 18, 19, 20 years old, who's playing video games...
Probably didn't play Diablo.
Didn't grow up with those.
Yeah.
Didn't grow up with a point-and-click RPG.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're probably going to think that gameplay is shit and not like it. Because it's not, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
That could be part of it, man. Yeah. That could affect the sales. I mean, it is a genre you don't see very often anymore.
Torchlight did pretty well, though.
Oh, that's true.
Torchlight did do pretty well.
Honestly, guys, I really don't think this Metacritic score is going to hurt the sales of Diablo 3 very much. I just think you look at it, and it's fucking childish.
Yeah, it is.
It's stupid.
You know, it'd be like if everybody came out and bitched and moaned because they didn't like the ending of Inception.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to see DiCaprio settle down happily with his family. We didn't want the ambiguous spin top. You know, it's like, so you go online and you give it a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't.
Oh, well. We're going to enjoy playing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy playing it tonight when I get home.
Whenever I can reactivate my BattleNet account.
I should probably do it on my wife's laptop because mine is a work computer. You know, I don't actually own it. My business owns it. But I should go up and clock Beth's new laptop and see if that's able to run Diablo.
I can't see why it wouldn't be, man. The requirements are not that steep. As long as you got a 3D card in there, you should be okay.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. He's not going to be playing RuneScape for much longer.
John, what kind of tune are you going to roll?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. Because I didn't grow up with a point-and-click RPG. I came on board with Diablo 2.
Cool.
And in more crybaby news...
Yay!
No playable Capcom demos for any Nintendo platforms at E3.
Fuck you, Nintendo!
Looks like Nintendo just got diagnosed with the big C.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Did Capcom even really have anything big to show off this year at E3? Actually, yes, they do. Fuck, what am I talking about?
Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6, Devil May Cry, and...
Lost Planet 3.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, geez, man, that's a pretty muscular lineup right there.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Of course, they'll probably have booths dedicated to Dragon's Dogma, even though that'll have been out for 2 weeks when E3 starts. That happens every year. There's always, like, a few games on the show.
I thought you said they'd have boobs dedicated to Dragon's Dogma.
That would be awesome.
Maybe. So,
dude, man, they were throwing people out of PAX for that. I really don't know.
They were throwing people out of PAX?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what? For having models?
For lewd costumes.
For lewd costumes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen the pictures, man.
What kind of lewd costumes?
There was one girl was a professional cosplayer. She's paid by Warner Brothers Games to dress up as the main character from Lollipop Chainsaw.
Okay.
And got thrown out for her rather revealing attire.
Okay.
And then some douchebag from some other gaming website that's not Blast Processing got up on stage and stripped.
Really?
Yeah, during a panel and got ejected.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So, like, really, the news came out, and, you know, you look at it, and it's like, you know, if I were Penny Arcade, if I were running a business like that, I'd be kicking people out, too.
See?
You know, if you're gonna come to my house and act like a knob...
Okay, they have a gathering of gamers once a year, right? Gamers.
Kill it. Sorry, that's my... no, sorry, my wife was just telling me I'd left the oven on.
And the turkey's burnt.
And the turkeys. And I've ruined Christmas.
Burnt the turkey.
So, okay, they're having a convention for gamers. Twice a year, all these gamers rally together. And they complain about counterculture behavior. That's a little hypocritical.
No, they've been really outspoken about how PAX is very much a family game event. You know, bring your kids, like, play video games type thing.
It's pretty amazing that they always just stood but a hole in its place for gamers to hang out and be gamers together until they had kids of their own.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
That's true.
It's nice to know that even in gaming society, former gaming icons can grow up to be douchebags. I don't know how the hell Capcom not having Nintendo products at E3.
I don't know how that led to
because when you said booth, it sounded like booth. you said a word that sounded like titty, and my mind wandered.
And automatically goes to Penny Arcade. See, I love how they want a family-focused convention, but their comic strips are rated M for mature.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, how many F-bombs do they drop in the run of a week in their comic strips?
You know, and that running gag about bestiality, that's bound to go for years.
Yeah. So, well, you know, whatever. Speaking of total fucking asshats.
This has been a very depressing podcast, by the way.
It's been what are you playing, man? Max Payne just came out. Okay, what were you expecting? Unicorns? His wife and kid are dead.
Activision has bit the bullet and served out over $40 million in due wages to former Infinity Ward employees.
Let's just go back and look at that. That's the key word. Due.
Yeah, that's not bad news. That's good news. They got what they were due.
Who were asking for $75 to $125 million based on royalties for total sales of Modern Warfare 2.
Oh.
Which was the last game developed by the real, quote-unquote, Infinity Ward. The legal scuttlebutt is that Activision has paid out as much as it has to look good in front of a jury when the whole thing goes to jury trial later this year.
Aww.
Well done, asshats.
Are they our asshat of the week?
Asshat of the week, Activision. You know, it's been a little while, guys, since you've really acted like total doucheheads, total douche weasels. But you know, there it is.
There it is. Whoop.
We have upgraded the quality of your douche container.
No, you know what? I can't even call them douchebags because that would imply that they could get close to a vagina.
All right, moving on.
Oh.
Moving on.
Oh!
Yeah, we are going to move on, actually. Kickstarter news. We got some Kickstarter news this week.
We do.
Yay, exciting. Kickstarter, positive. anybody remember Tex Avery?
I do.
I actually do as well.
Yeah. What?
You're not talking about the animator Tex Avery, are you?
No.
Nope, this was an old school gumshoe.
I'm gonna be quiet now.
who started a few FMV point-and-click adventure games in the early days of CD-ROM. Well, the star of Underkilling Moon, and Overseer, is coming back on Kickstarter, courtesy of creator Chris Jones and Avery writer Aaron Connors. Current code name? Project Fedora.
Woo!
Awesome.
Current status? $124,000 of $400,000 goal, with a full month remaining.
That's good news.
So that is good news.
I remember Underkilling Moon.
Man, it would be awesome if they got the original text back and did an FMV.
Well, he's got to be. That was like, God, man.
Early 90s?
Yeah.
Underkilling Moon was so good.
Well, dude, do it like Max Payne. Make him older and fatter.
Overseer was great, too. Overseer was the one that had the box that had the radar tower, or the radio tower on it. The little blinking red LED. So when you looked at it on the shelf in a store, it actually had a blinking red flashing light on it.
Wow.
It was really fucking cool.
I remember Underkilling Moon, because I remember the first time I ever saw like people freaking out at the number of discs that were in it. It's like, that game's got to be massive.
It was like 6 or 7 discs or something. I remember Chuck having it. Yeah. Me and Chuck played through
6 or 7 CDs.
Yeah. Me and Chuck played through the whole game.
Hmm.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, well, they weren't bad little FMVs, were they?
Well, you know, they were kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
But, I mean, they all were back then, man.
Yeah. But I remember really enjoying that game.
Speaking of games that are going to be enjoyed... So, we got a little bit of good news now.
Hooray!
343 Studios' Frank O'Connor has come out with some details on the Reclaimer trilogy set to begin with Halo 4. They have a solid 10-year plan in place.
Woo!
So should it still be called Halo 4?
I actually had this conversation earlier today with Lawrence.
Dude, Reclaimer is actually, that's an awesome name for
Halo Reclaimer would be awesome.
Yeah.
Or Halo the Reclaimer trilogy.
No, I got a better one for you. Reclaimer, Halo Evolved.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Ooh.
But weren't there already a bunch of games that were called Halo something?
There was Halo Reach.
Halo Wars, Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Halo 3 ODST.
That should have just been called Halo Helljumper.
That was the original title, but they changed it for some reason. No, Halo Recon was the original title.
Hmm.
But Helljumper, that's too awesome a word.
Yeah, it is. Now, I think Reclaimer, even like Reclaimer Halo 4 would be okay.
Yeah.
You know? Something like that, right? Like, just something like...
Let it stand on its own feet, but still have that little the little tie in there so everyone can still look and say, oh my god, Halo!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Give me my Mountain Dew.
Where are the Cheetos?
I'm raiding tonight.
I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I'm really looking forward to see how they expand the mythology, and I think it's cool that they're kicking off a new trilogy with it.
Yeah.
But I think 10-year plan is being a little ambitious.
I do, too.
That is crazy.
Because, you know, as it is a short ride, and, like, the fall comes extremely quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there was... I mean, guys, there was... A few years ago, you know, ten or so years ago, you wouldn't have been able to convince me that people would ever get sick of Tony Hawk, right?
Yeah.
While it was going on, it never seemed like anyone would ever get sick of Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Yeah.
Now, see, but here's the thing, John.
What?
Look at the titles you listed. Look at
they're both Activision.
No. Zing! But no, that's not what I was thinking. Okay, you've had. Like, look at the longest-running series now, like the ones that kind of get yearly or bi-yearly. You got Halo, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Gears of War. You know, people aren't really getting sick of this stuff. People have stuck with it. You look at Rock Band, Guitar Hero, Tony Hawk. What do they all have in common?
Activision?
No. No.
What?
TikTok, motherfucker, TikTok.
Peripherals?
No. More casual audience.
Ah. Yes, that is true.
This is where it all comes into play. And this is...
Well, I can go back and list better games if you want.
No, that's okay. It's all good. But, like, that's the thing. It's the casual audience versus the hardcore. I mean, Halo will always have its fan base.
Yeah.
You know, Halo is a monster. Halo really is a... You know, a multimedia monster. I think Halo 3 still has the record, actually, for most successful multimedia launch of all time. You know? But, it's never going to go away, and as long as they keep making new products, it doesn't matter if they take a year or 2 years in between them, people are still going to show up and lap it up, you know? As long as the innovation is there, as long as they don't make shit games... And I guess that's part of the thing now is it's on 343 Industries because this is the first non-Bungie Halo. Could be interesting.
Yeah. One to watch.
I guess that's it for our news, is it?
Looks like it's it.
Yeah.
I have nothing else. I have a cat.
You have a cat in your face.
Hello, cat. Jeez. He's very vocal this evening.
Cat is now on the podcast.
We firing the retro rockets this evening?
Yes, we have to fire the retro rockets.
Prepare for launch. Three, two, one.
I trusted them.
They told me they fixed it. Anyone got anything for retro rockets this evening?
Oh, no. I got a feeling none of us do.
Nothing?
The Retro Rockets have actually failed.
That's why I made that noise.
Oh my god.
Hmm.
Well, no. That's okay.
Okay, I got one.
Excellent. Go.
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff and in your face. This is Tony Pope.
QT.
Live with Hardcore. Favorite character who hasn't really made a comeback in the modern age? You know, in the modern console age. I'm thinking, you know, go back to 8-bit if you want to. 8-bit, 16, 32. Call 32 to cut off.
Goodness me.
Character you haven't seen in a while. Like at least a console generation.
Well, there are a couple.
Yeah.
There's
a few. More than a few.
I mean, Kane.
Kane hasn't appeared since PS2 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not including the 3DS game, which I will probably never play, Pitman.
Kid Icarus?
Yeah, good old Pit.
But you gotta include the 3DS game.
No, we don't.
John, do we have to?
Yes, he has to.
You need a judgment call.
Oh, no.
You have to count it.
Is it? Have you?
And Pit was in Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah,
when Pit... those games.
Pit doesn't...
Those are Nintendo games. Shut up.
And can I just state how disappointed I am in you, gentlemen? Okay, we have got... Going back to the 8-bit now, going back to the NES.
Okay.
You have got characters who fight magical armies of witches and skeletons by kicking them. You have got a secret agent who foils robotic uprisings and alien invasions with a fucking boomerang.
Right.
And you have got a cop who gets both of his arms smashed and is given cybernetic fists that can shatter steel on impact. And these people have not made comebacks.
You've also got a kabuki who hits people with his hair.
Yeah.
Hits computer viruses with his hair.
That's right, he's in a computer. It's a virtual reality simulation.
That's right.
It's like Tron.
Only really, really stupid.
I like that game. It was a good game.
Oh, it was decent, dude, but it was, like, even compared to a secret agent who stops aliens with a boomerang, Kabuki Quantum Fighter was really, really dumb.
I bet you would have loved it a lot more if it was called, like, Netrunner.
I loved the shit out of it. It was called Netrunner Kabuki.
I found the playstyle of that to be very similar to the first Batman game, actually.
It kind of was, yeah.
And the music in the first level was boss.
Yeah. I don't remember it.
It was super boss.
It's been so long since I've...
And it actually had some really cool... It actually had pretty neat animation.
It did, man.
He whipped his hair back and forth.
Don't. Don't.
Hair, man.
Oh, look what you started. Oh, man.
So do we actually have, like, a single answer out of all of that?
Yeah, Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Kev wants Kabuki Quantum Fighter to make a comeback.
Well, I'm not allowed to have him pinned back because he's on the 3DS. Yes.
You know, no, dude, I'd play the shit out of a new Shatterhand game.
Shatterhand. That'd be pretty fun.
It would be pretty
but
fun.
Who would play it? Who'd actually buy that shit?
Me.
You. Me. And nobody else.
Give it to Mikami. He likes blowing up robots.
What about you, John?
I just gave my answer.
Shatterhand. Sorry.
Yes.
Kev?
Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Man. You guys are horrible.
What's yours?
I don't know.
DuckTales, motherfucker!
Woo!
Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck. I had one and I lost it. I had one, but it's gone.
It got whipped out by Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
I started thinking to whip my hair back and forth.
Oh, no.
And it opened up a vacuum in my mind.
I'm actually really surprised that Nintendo actually never went back to Star Tropics.
I kind of am, too, actually.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
No, because, I mean, yeah, there's a well of nostalgia right there. And they seem to love tapping that shit.
I've got mine.
Go ahead.
The Master.
The Master.
The Master. also known as the demigod who guided...
Oh, you mean Lord John.
In ActRaiser.
Lord John, yeah.
Lord John.
Lord Kevin, you mean.
Sir John.
Sir John.
Sir Kevin.
Oh, he called you Sir, did he?
Yeah, it was an Enix game, man. You know he calls you Sir. Come on now.
And you know what? Unlike Shatterhand and Kabuki Quantum Fighter, you could make a fucking amazing ActRaiser.
Dude, think about, like, okay, Starhawk, for example, the build and battle mechanic in Starhawk, you know? Like, you could combine the action levels with the strategy levels and do it seamlessly.
Yep.
You know? Like, it's... Oh.
And it even makes sense, because you're God.
Yeah.
If there ever was a game character who could call down structures out of the sky...
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'd even love that, man, is if you were building the place, you actually had to lay down statues, like you're of, you know, these great former warriors.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, if shit goes down and the monsters start coming, you know, you could still run around in, like, a fairly depowered mortal form, but if you get next to one of these statues and transfer your power into that...
You could even do it, man, like, you could have...
Turn into this badass armored form?
Yeah. Different multiple forms based on the statues.
Yep.
You could break it up into regions, just like the first game was done. Like, you know, you got your Fillmore, your Bloodpool, your Marna, and all of those. But instead...
What was the pyramid level?
The pyramid level was...
Kevin, you hated that, didn't you?
I hated the pyramid level?
Yeah, in ActRaiser? Or was it Steve hated the pyramid?
I don't remember.
The pyramid was pretty tough.
What was it called?
I can't remember. But you could even take a mechanic, you know, like the 2008 Prince of Persia. How, like, you start in these corrupted lands that are all misted over and desolate, and you go through killing monsters and shit, but as you clear out the areas and build structures, like build the palaces or the places of worship, and your population increases, everything gets bright and sunny, and trees start to grow again, you know? You could do something really cool like that.
I remember us talking about that, like, back when Dark Cloud came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, then you had the Square Enix merger, and I think they actually had a poll on their website.
Yeah.
You know, what classic series would you like to see? And ActRaiser won.
Yeah, but it never came back.
No. That would be awesome, yeah. Man.
I'd love to see ActRaiser come back.
I feel like an idiot for saying Shatterhand now.
I still want Kabuki Quantum Fighter, man.
Kev still wants Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
And can you imagine you started up and you, like, just in your opening cinema, have you heard a choir start singing the title screen music?
Oh, man.
That'd be wicked.
Yeah, ActRaiser. Yeah.
I can't believe I came up with that gameplay idea of the statues.
That's pretty
awesome. That is pretty awesome.
So what we need to do is we need to start a studio. We need to get a loan from Rhode Island.
Get on Kickstarter.
We need to get Square Enix to license us out the rights to do ActRaiser, get them to publish it or something for us.
And, I mean, they love Western Studios now.
They do, yeah. They could call us Square Enix Newfoundland or Square Enix Far East or something. I'd be down.
We'll get Other Ocean Interactive on that. What do you think?
I think we should keep it for ourselves. Fuck that.
They'll just fill it with puffins.
Puffins and Patrick Stewart voiceovers.
Yep.
No fun at all.
Oh, dude, there'd be puffins in Northwall.
They'd probably get...
Northwall have puffins coming out the ass.
They'd probably get Alan Doyle to do all the music, too.
Yeah.
Let's not say we did.
That's a pretty big step down, man. Yuzo Koshiro to Alan Doyle.
We shouldn't be dissing Newfoundland's favorite musical son like that. He just released his first solo album.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
Power to him. I hope he does well.
Oh, you know, I wish him all the luck in the world. That doesn't mean I'm going to buy it, though.
Shout out to the fellow from the harbor.
That's right. You succeed.
I buy one Newfoundland album a year, and I promised Dan I'd buy his.
I got Mike.
Which, by the way, shouldn't we give a shout out to him?
Hell yes, we should. Jeez, Mr. Dan Moore, String Vulture, the man who gave us our bitchin' theme and exit music, His band, Wizards of Chaos, released their first CD on May 22nd, and I got my copy this week, and it's freaking awesome.
I'm going to a big CD release party.
June 9th, yeah. I think myself and Russ are going to try to get together for it, too.
Nice. Yeah. Mm. I'll be out of town.
Kev will be in Grand Bank, acting.
Acting!
Getting paid.
Which
is always nice. And playing banjo.
Playing a lot of banjo.
Woo! So all you weak sauce gamers out there, you should buy Wizards of Chaos. You will not be prepared.
No.
You cannot handle metal this strong.
On that note, if you want to leave some feedback, comment, talk to us, bitch at us.
Tell us what old school franchise you would like to see come back.
Yeah, what hero or what characters do you miss from back in the day, you know? From over yonder. Facebook.com. The group's name is Blast Processing. Search and you will find.
Twitter.
We're on the tweets at B Processing. You know, hello B.
In the Twitter sphere.
In the Twitter sphere.
I don't even follow us.
You horrible person.
I will.
DVDverdict.com. We've got our own little section there under the forums. The jury room. We're in there. We got a little Blast Processing cubby hole where we all hang out and trade baseball cards and talk about chicks. And
chicks who have broken our hearts.
Bands we dig. Or the Matrix. And you can get us on iTunes. Subscribe to DVD Verdict Presents. You'll get us and a whole slew of other awesome podcasts like They Came From the North, who just tackled Tony Scott. It was a really marathon, fun episode. I have
not sure Ethan Sopley. Yet. I don't think Ethan Sopley's going to be very happy with us.
Probably not. Did we diss Ethan Sopley?
Oh, I dissed the shit out of him. Well, dude, it's his own fault. He nearly crashed that train. If we were living in a Denzel-free world,
that train would have been dead.
Yeah. And all those innocent people.
All those hobos would have spilled their beans.
Yeah.
So there you go. If there's anything we want to leave you with this week, it is this.
They were all dead. The final gunshot was an exclamation mark to everything that had led to this point. I released my finger from the trigger, and then it was over.
Sayonara.